Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of A Week Late Podcast. Yet another bonus episode for those of you that have been keeping up with this soap opera of the Quentin Tarantino encounter with our good friend Mike G. A lot of stuff has happened in the music world of FENEntertainment.com and in the podcast realm, so it's been a while since I posted one of these episodes, but we're almost there. Second to last episode, this gets into the meat of it. Probably the episode a lot of you have been waiting for. Lots of good responses on the Mike G. Quentin Tarantino interview. So thanks for paying attention. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling your friends. I'm going to stop talking now so you guys can get right into it. It picks up right where we left off. None of this got edited out. Just split up. That's all. So weeklate.com, fanentertainment.com, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. And we need more iTunes subscribers and comments. Thanks a lot, guys. And here you go, part four of the Quentin Tarantino encounter, Confessions of a Movie Geek with Mike G.
FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
So she escorted me over there after I noticed one of the Yin Yang twins possibly on the way to get low. I don't know.
He was getting low. He was getting high.
He's in the process.
Yeah, I think he was getting the opposite of low.
Yin Yang twins.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get the reference. I was making a joke.
Yes.
They're never getting low. They're getting high all the time.
They're getting low.
Yeah. But
come on, give him his moment. anyway. So.
I don't have any respect for somebody that makes it on lock. So. They don't have any talent.
Anyway, okay. So I'm in the green room. In the green room. Nice.
M&M's, steak.
At the time, no. All we had in the green
carrots.
Room was a bar that only served Coors.
Coors regular?
Coors period.
Wow.
And
I would have still drank that shit.
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah.
I needed some.
Open bar? Free shit?
Yeah.
Nice. Because they're sponsored by Coors, probably.
Actually, I don't remember.
They had to be, because if it was free, because Jimmy Fallon sponsored by Bud Light Lime. Anytime they play beer pong, free Bud Light Lime.
But I think I at least had...
I watch way too much Jimmy Fallon, knowing that.
I think I had at least...
Hulu Plus, what up?
At least... I needed the...
You were going to be on national TV.
Yeah.
Against... Now, had you seen him at this point in the back at all?
No.
In fact, not even a glimpse?
He hadn't gotten there yet.
Okay, you made it there before he did.
Yeah.
He had to fly himself in... Do you think that they pay? Do they pay those people to be there too? The actors, they pay them, or do they come by favor? They don't come by favor. They have to be paid to be there.
And in fact, a lot of times they're there for the studio, not for ABC, but for the studio.
To run that they're doing. Their studio pays them to be there to run the promo. It's a gotcha.
Because they're always there promoting something. Yeah,
they have to promote something.
So either the studio's paying them. Or,
you know, the first episode of Jimmy Fallon, Robert De Niro was there to not promote anything. Was it Robert De Niro or... Anyway, whoever was on the first episode, it was Will Ferrell, Robert De Niro, I believe, was there. Mm-hmm. Just sat there, didn't say a word, just wanted to be there for the first episode, had nothing to promote.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most awkward interview Jimmy Fallon's ever had. I know that
De Niro, don't a lot of people say that, you know, whenever De Niro's on a talk show, he's always kind of, you know.
It's very standoffish.
Yeah, very mellow.
Not because he hates people, he just doesn't.
He's just normally quiet.
Yeah, he's just trying to be himself, and that's
yeah.
who he is.
Imagine.
I try to speak on, you know, on his behalf, not knowing him, which I thought was funny.
Well, you want to defend him.
Yeah.
I guess it's because, you know, he doesn't have a, I mean, when he has a part, then of course he's going to be inhabiting that part.
I love him and everything he does. He's amazing.
I wish I could say the same.
Including Simone.
Bam. That's Al Pacino.
Oh, really?
I just fucked that up.
I got to bleep that out. So, I said about everything, but I don't edit
But it's
shit.
Okay. If it makes you feel any better, Dave Grohl actually confused Casino for Goodfellas, or actually Goodfellas for Casino. Yeah.
Easily done. I can see that.
And his drummer was like, dude, that was Goodfellas. So,
well, you just called me out on one, so that's awesome.
And then
back
pause,
to the green room.
And then you're like, pause. Fuck you!
back on.
Yeah.
We'll bleep that out as well. I have the power to do anything I want.
This is my show!
But I don't edit anything.
Yeah.
If you listen to any of the episodes, I don't edit shit.
Just three beers? Yeah.
So you're in the green room.
I'm in the green room.
And you're drinking a shit ton of Coors.
Yes.
Then what?
This girl said...
How many Coors have you had by this time?
Can't remember.
Were you drunk?
No. I was not, but I was buzzing.
You wanted to be sharp enough to...
They tested me before I went back on stage.
Okay, I was gonna say.
Those were good questions.
At this point,
I got on the show.
Right.
Were terrible.
Were the ones that you had backstage were harder than ones you got asked on stage? I want to know.
They were harder, but they were cooler.
Did they come to you thinking, let's get this guy drunk?
No. I went there of my own free will, so I...
No, I know that, but
yeah.
After that, did they say, when they were asking the qualifying questions pre-stage, backstage, did they ask you harder questions in hindsight, did they ask you harder questions backstage
to
fuck you up?
I think they wanted to get a feel
for whether or not they could actually get one over on you, or let's take this guy seriously. He is who he says he is.
Yes. I got the impression they were trying to warm me up so that I don't fall on my face.
Gotcha.
So,
because the first interview, you felt like they were making fun of you.
No.
On the phone, before you got to California.
When they said they wanted to... No. They were only... When they asked me what I did, and I told them I was a video store clerk, okay, I knew that clinched it, okay? So I knew they were looking for a type. That's really all.
What I'm saying is that at this point, when you got there, do you think at any point that they were there to humiliate you as a fan and make him look better, or at the way you presented yourself, they said, this guy's a real human being, let's let this...
Never in those terms.
No.
I think that, you know, I was serving a point for a skit, but that if I...
You were a contest winner. They wanted to get some laughs out of you without embarrassing you. And then...
Yeah.
And then...
All in good fun.
Were you left with the impression that you were going to be on stage with Tarantino?
Yes.
You knew that you were going to be on stage with him?
I assumed.
Okay. They told you that?
Or
were they like...
They didn't really.
Because you didn't really win a contest. You just ended up being some fucking guy on a random internet.
Yeah.
That's fucking bizarre, man.
Yeah.
You have any idea how random that shit is?
Yeah.
That's... that's one in a trillion at this point. That's not even, it wasn't even a contest that they put out. You had to fill some of the spots that fucking canceled.
Lucky. I was
that
so
shit
lucky.
Is bizarre beyond, and the fact that we're sitting here talking about it and we both live in Spring Hill is one in a bajillion.
Well,
because
you know,
that shit,
and it's just like the shit we were talking about with Rounders. And it, as a matter of fact,
wow.
You find out that the Pro Billiard Tour isn't from Capone specifically. You should probably mention that,
right?
And it's just something that runs through Spring Hill.
But the fact that you picked that out, still phenomenal.
Thank you. But the reason I wanted to bring that up, you know,
sure.
we'd heard about that, definite during our little break.
Mm-hmm.
But I mentioned that to mention this. At least up until like 2005, Spring Hill was sort of like beginning to like be on the map for like mention on
mm-hmm.
TV.
I noticed that.
A friend of mine.
We've been
a friend of mine.
On,
his wife was on Big Brother.
We've been. I was just going to say.
I knew the girl that was on Big Brother. Fine.
There have been when I was living in Tampa working for Nokia.
Yeah.
Off of Waters Avenue over there. While that happened, there was a girl from Spring Hill that made it onto American Idol.
Really?
Yeah. And that's happened
that.
Two or three times
yeah.
since.
Yeah.
Just recently, on our last podcast, I gave a shout-out to Reggie Pena,
mm-hmm.
a UFC champion title
that.
Winner.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to high school with him.
I think actually,
he was in my
the same guy that
it's amazing how much talent has come from this
that.
Fucking town.
Yeah.
And I've always said that. Our host, Jason, has a video of – it's funny. We went to go watch – I believe it was episode 33 during a hurricane.
Oh, fuck.
The one that we had. The category one most recently, it was
Debbie.
Was
that a category? I thought it was just wasn't
it
a tropical storm.
It was a tropical storm when I left the house, and by the time I got back to the house, it was category one. But it was already sweeping through
mm-hmm.
the north of the state at that point.
You know what they're saying now that
it was so crazy because we were talking about the same thing like. We just did it because here it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care about 98 degree weather like they do in New York because it's bizarre up there. Here it happens over the summer every fucking day. Why don't we complain about it? But it's because it's normal to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes with the same thing like the Jimmy Kimmel people. They see strangers every day and they're like, what's this guy's certain fulfillment in the role. So once they found out that you weren't a fucking joke,
mm.
do you think that they took you seriously or that it was just, this is
it
what this...
It seemed like they took me completely seriously after the taping.
After it. After it, though.
Well, at least verbally.
Right.
Because the producer that had been my liaison for the whole thing...
Well, I don't want to fast forward, so... Well, I do want to fast forward, but not that fast. So... What happens when you go from the green room? Talk to us about the transition between the green room where you. I want to know. I still want to know about the food that was backstage, but the transition.
You'll be disappointed.
The actual process of who comes to get you, where you go, how it looked backstage, and when you got to the stage, what took place? Because you didn't. Actually get to talk to Jimmy Kimmel, right?
I only talked to him on stage.
You only talked to him on stage.
Yeah.
Okay. But not Quentin Tarantino on stage?
Oh, I talked to Quentin on stage.
Oh, you did?
And
okay.
In fact, a lot of the stuff we talked to, because actually the whole trivia contest, or at least stuff that we said to each other back and forth, there was more...
But you keep saying trivia contest when it wasn't really that at all, though.
It was. We had... We had buzzers. We had beepers.
Oh, the actual trivia contest that you had on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But we actually talked about we fucking geeked out for a little bit during the taping too, and all that got cut.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I bet you it happened during commercials.
Well, they had to fill that 6-minute spot. Yeah.
It happened during commercials, I bet. Like you guys were talking.
Oh no, we talked during the. They just cut. See that? Okay.
So
that's the thing. Okay. No, I'm about to. I'm
backstage.
Start backstage, and then. Let me just say this real quick. I'm gonna lay a bombshell on you.
Okay.
Jimmy Kimmel, the live part, biggest fucking lie on network TV. It's not a live show. They tape it.
It's live at the time that they tape it.
At the time. there is a live studio audience.
At the time that they tape it.
It is live to broadcast.
Now, okay, so for the listeners, late night shows aren't taped late night. They are taped 3:30, 4 o'clock, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon,
any of those. Jimmy's shot late, but then again, they show him late.
Fallon or Kimmel?
Kimmel.
Kimmel is shot later, and you're right.
But then again.
It's funny how they call it live when it's live at the time they shoot it, so it's not really lying.
No. Actually, Kimmel's even worse because, you know, for Conan or Fallon or anything, they tape their shows at like 5 o'clock in the evening, and then they broadcast like 6 hours later.
Right.
Okay. Jimmy or Kimmel, okay, they tape my show around 8, 9 o'clock at night, and then that didn't air until the next fucking day.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. So they have a production schedule set up to where they can tell him what to say at the beginning.
I heard when I was there that they had actually taped a 50 Cent performance that wasn't due to even air, I think, until the next week.
Hmm. Because they can cut it together and it's the same crowd.
Yeah. In fact, I never saw his uncle.
Whose uncle?
Jimmy Kimmel's. If you ever watched
him, yeah.
He always has his uncle as his sidekick.
Yeah. Well,
dirty guy.
Didn't he just recently die?
Not as far as I know.
Yeah, he's dead.
But okay, he's dead. Okay, but at the time he was still alive. But he wasn't there. I didn't see him.
The old
you watched
dude,
the
right?
episode? He's cutting back and forth talking to
him. Yeah. That's fucking weird.
I didn't see him at all.
Really?
And I made it a case to actually look out for him.
Huh.
Oh wow, where's his uncle? Like,
so okay. Now we're at the point where I still want to get to you're in the green room.
Yeah. This one girl that was actually
How are you actually getting to the stage and talking to Jimmy Kimmel and Quentin at this point?
All right. Okay. While I'm in the green room, I'm waiting. And then
No producers.
I'm just waiting.
The food. I still haven't talked about the food.
That's after the taping.
Backstage.
Yes. All there is is just
really.
That's all there was just the beer.
That sucks, man.
And
I would have been like, where's the shrimp? Where's the lobster, bitches? Oh, shit. Come on.
I was way too...
Well, Jimmy Kimmel, son.
I was way too nervous to even think about food at that point.
Plus, you're probably not an alcoholic like me, and you're not thinking about that kind of shit. So, continue.
Foster's.
Australian for beer. You know they're actually printing that on this shit now, huh? This one doesn't have it? All right, I stand corrected.
I always want to try...
They have one with three cans on the label, and it says social networking, Australian for beer.
Huh.
It's awesome. There's three cans in it. Anyway.
Okay.
So you're...
I'm there.
There's still beer by stage.
While I'm waiting, this girl...
Intern.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, actually,
producer.
She ended up being in the skit as well. I didn't know she would be in the skit.
So, all right.
She sat down next to me. And I can't remember if we even...
She met you on stage?
Oh, no, on the couch while I was waiting.
Backstage?
In the green room.
Okay.
But at this point, the TV's come on. And at first I thought maybe the show started. And then as it kept going, I realized, no, he's warming up the crowd. So Jimmy's on the stage warming up.
They have one of those.
They all do that, I guess.
Yep. Seth Herzog does an incredible job for Jimmy Fallon in New York.
Yeah.
He's fucking hilarious.
Well, this happened around 8 o'clock, and they told me that I'd be going on around 8 o'clock.
Oh, shit.
And I'm starting to think, wow.
Totally showbiz.
They're probably going to bump me.
Yeah.
Because at first I'm thinking, well,
and you actually know what that means.
Maybe the show is going to run late, and Quentin isn't even there yet.
So fucking...
And the only other guest that night...
How weird do you feel at that point? Like, it's getting to the point and nobody's there except you. Like, you have to feel like a joke almost.
Well, at first I didn't even know...
With my self-esteem the way it is, I would have felt bad. In the fucking bathroom.
I would have felt bad if he didn't show up at all.
Of course. Okay.
But I got a free flight out of it.
Sure.
I had.
It was an experience.
It was an experience, you know. Got free beer.
You were by yourself.
You know,
nobody was with
you. Just by myself.
That sucks, though. You should have at least somebody with you. You know.
But, so, I'm thinking that maybe I'm going to get bumped. Who knows? But then I realized, you know, that probably, you know, they're, you know, well, Jimmy's out there just warming up the crowd. And then about, like... And then that's the thing, too, is that before I got onto the show, before I got on stage, the producers came back and told me that the shirt I was wearing, I think, was just wearing like a green polo shirt. I think it was either a green polo shirt or it was like a gray polo shirt or something like that. But whatever it was, they were shooting digital, and the shirt wouldn't come out, something like that.
It would.
So, they had to go back to wardrobe and find something in my size for me to wear. So this is all happening in crunch time.
They should have told you not to wear green.
Yeah.
You can't wear green on TV what happens is that they're I don't know how true this is. It has something to do with production.
Yeah.
And anytime they see green, they think they're going to do a bit about, like, blending into the background or something like that. So if there's something that blends into the background, it'll because green is the same color.
Like green screen, right?
Yeah, yeah. There are different shades of green screen that are supposed to hold true to that, but I heard that's not true, that it's any shade of green that'll just bleed through. But that's funny that they didn't tell you that ahead of time.
And actually, I think... I can't remember who came on first, because the other guest that night was Elena Christensen from Swim Fan and from Traffic.
Nice. Swim Fan. Wow.
I know. Not a fan.
That's good.
I could have said not a swim fan. But
would have been just as good. I would have said the same noise.
Terrible.
That was Erica Christensen, wasn't it?
Because Erica Christensen, isn't she like the supermodel or whatever? Yeah.
I want to say...
It's Elena, or no. Erica, yeah, it probably is.
We'll have to look that up later.
I'm sure everybody knows who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Traffic, Smoking Crack, I Want Some More, yeah.
Oh, Traffic is so good.
Yeah. And don't try that at home.
Do not.
Or,
our listeners try more than that at home, trust me. They're trying more than that listening to this shit right now, 4 hours in.
Yeah.
This is great. This is the best. This is the best fucking interview I've ever had.
Sam Jones style. Where's the party?
Where's that?
Where's the party?
Still haven't seen Snakes on the Plane. So go ahead.
John, you dirty old skin. You guys party? No, I thought people went to Japan and Florida. All I really remember about her is that she always went everywhere. She had an entourage. And Quentin had no entourage. He's just there.
He didn't have anybody with him?
No.
Really?
No, that's the way he is.
I would figure him walking around with a bunch of... Fucking non-paranoid,
Just wait.
I have to be somewhat close.
Just wait. But no, ordinarily he just shows up.
Hmm.
He doesn't have an entourage or nothing. It's just him.
It's like Batman. He slides through the fucking windows at the top and he just lands.
But, you know, okay, so I'm in the green room. Jimmy's doing his stuff and I'm thinking I'm going to get bumped.
You're standing at this point, waiting.
Oh, no, I'm sitting. Just,
all right.
You know, drinking.
If I get bumped, I might as well get drunk.
Yeah.
That's what I would have said.
So, after a while, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I don't know what's going to happen. And then I hear that laugh. The Quentin laugh.
Yeah, I don't like that laugh.
And you know he's there. And I look out to the hallway from the green room. And I see the producers.
God, this guy is so fucking nuts.
I see the producers, and I see Quentin wearing his backwards tangle hat, right?
And which he looks stupid in.
Wait,
he can pull it off. Cold. He can pull it off.
Pull it off, yeah.
I pulled it off before he did, but that's okay.
So, so he walks back, he walks past there, and he's got, you know, and it's the laugh. I'm like, that's when it fucking kicks in. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
You realize that this isn't a dream anymore.
What the fuck is happening right now? I'm really going to be on a fucking stage next to Quentin motherfucking Tarantino. And he just walked by.
He has no idea that you're going to be on stage with him.
I'm like, what the fuck?
That's so bizarre, okay. Man. That's got to be the fucking deadliest feeling.
Now my fucking nerves start going fucking crazy. Another beer.
Wow.
So he goes. He immediately goes and he does his
like his fucking laugh, like his fucking crazy. Yeah. I try to do it. I apologize. For a guy that I hate, I try to do it.
That sounds more like Pee Wee Herman.
Wow. All right. Well.
All right. Yeah.
Good enough.
Anyway. You know,
where isn't he? Was that closer to Paul Rubens or?
Dude,
where isn't he?
Dude.
I don't know. All right, fine. I'll stop.
So
you hear his
like,
crazy ass laugh?
Yeah. And I'm thinking, wow.
And you sweat a beer.
It's really gonna fucking happen.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah. And he immediately goes and he does his interview with Kimmel. Does his bit, and I'm like,
that lasted how long?
About 6 minutes.
Same amount of time.
Roughly about the same. There's like
so this is one of those double portions where the host gets to say, "We'll be right back with more Quentin Tarantino."
Well, here's the thing, okay? Because at first I'm thinking,
don't
you know,
bite me.
What if
you.
This is going to go overtime?
And they're still going to bump you.
And they're going to bump me.
Right.
At least I'm going to meet him now. I know he's here. Right. So. He goes out, they're talking, and I guess just recently at the time, he had done something for NASCAR, like he participated in one of the races, he got the car, and they, you know, they taped it and everything,
sure.
So they showed it, okay, and then I think they were talking about horror movies, I think they even talked about Amityville 2, and
no, it's gotta
that's
be,
my favorite Amityville.
Didn't he do another one with Robert Rodriguez where they had the fucking, the girl with the machine gun leg and shit like that? That was around that time where they did the double feature, wasn't it?
Actually... That
didn't
was,
they do?
No. That was way before Grindhouse. That was actually
Grindhouse.
I think
that's what it was.
It was a couple of weeks before Hostel came out.
Did he produce that?
Quentin produced it.
He didn't direct it. He
produced it.
He was the money behind the first Hostel.
Both Hostels.
Which is why they were so huge. Because those movies were shit.
Well actually, they were by mainstream standards, they were independent films. I mean, I'm not going to say that, but there
no,
was
yeah, you're right,
a lower budget.
They did do very well for being not known as QT flicks, you know, like
no,
they
like
were
strictly
Roth
movies.
Yeah. Did I just say QT?
You said QT.
I'm.
It's okay. That was actually even one of the questions.
I have to shoot
that gave me on stage.
I have to fucking shoot myself now because
don't
I,
shoot yourself. I got a point for that fucking that answer.
You know why? Because that means I'm a. A fan now, and I don't call him by that unless I would be.
Sir, you.
I need to leave now. This interview is over.
Participating in this.
I can't believe I just said that.
Changing. You're changing in front of your fans.
That's not good at all. I said fat. But go ahead.
But yeah. So. So they tested me again, and then I waited.
You still have to. It's beyond me why
you were put on hold slash hung up on and called back four times before you even made it there, and then four times before you even made it on stage, the same thing happened.
Yeah.
Like, this is the guy that's going to be talking to Quentin Tarantino. We have to grill him again.
Yeah.
Another four times before he goes on. Plus, he's also had four beers from our free non-food,
okay.
You know.
Non-food green room.
Non-food beer room. It's not a green room at this point. It's a beer room.
So, oh, okay. If I had a couple more beers in me, it would definitely be a green room. Or at least a spin art.
He would be able to tell either way.
Yeah.
But, okay. Now, is this the point where you're being walked on stage or no?
No.
Still.
And actually, but here's the thing. At first, yeah, like I said, I thought I was going to get bumped. But yeah, at least now I know he's here and I always talk to him. But then when it gets to the end of his segment, they actually mention the next segment. And it's like, okay, so you're going to stick around? Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
And then,
this is the portion
then,
where they say, then, hey, you're going to stick around for the next moment, right?
And he goes, because we got a guy here who knows, probably knows just about as much
more about
you
than you do.
Than you know
you're
about
right.
yourself. He's like, well,
bring him on.
I'm happy.
Let's
yeah,
it.
Bring him on. Let's
yep.
do it. This is going to be great. And I'm just like,
Now it just became real.
It just became
when
real.
When he said that, he's just like, fuck, now I'm
yeah.
being brought out.
Yeah.
So the advertising goes by.
Yeah.
And they call you
commercial.
Out.
They call me out. I go up there.
Now
I
during the commercial break, I've always wondered this. During the commercial break, do you actually wait the 30 to 45 seconds that the commercials go by, or do you just record right away? Because I know that doesn't happen in real time. It's pre-recorded.
Right.
They break maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds, and they tell you, here we go?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I thought that. Because that's how it happens at, like, live basketball games.
It was a little longer before the entire skit started, but it was just to prep the stage.
Right.
Get everything.
They gotta get everything
yeah.
good to go. The crowd has to sort of, and they usually bring comedians out to keep people going during the 30,
yeah.
40 seconds, nothing?
I don't remember that anymore, no.
Well, it's probably different.
But I come out and there's a whole... looked like a complete full crowd.
Did they?
I didn't even think. And then there was like huge monitors.
You're skipping
though.
You're
side.
Skipping though.
Yeah.
It's like
huh.
when they call now. Come back from commercial break. Cameras are going.
We're all already on stage.
Oh, so they brought you
yeah.
out already.
Yeah.
So I cut you off before they even. So Jimmy Kimmel Live works in a different way where they. You're right, because when they call people out, most of the time they're already sitting down. When most other shows bring them out, right?
Well, we were
on Jimmy Fallon. They're
right
like, here's Penelope Cruz, and she comes out of the fucking, you know, she comes out of the curtain,
yeah,
and she goes and walks, and the band plays a song that pertains to her,
mm-hmm.
and she takes 20 seconds to sit down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen when they. Over the commercial break, you were brought out to sit down next to him.
There was no sitting. We were standing at podiums. This was like being on the
oh,
fucking...
Oh, it was a game show.
It was just like a game show. It was like being on the fucking Feud.
So, they cut to commercial.
Yeah.
You are brought out on stage, standing at a podium next
yeah.
to Quentin Tarantino.
Yes.
That's fucking nuts, man.
Yeah.
And actually,
you
didn't get to say hi to him or anything.
No,
okay.
I did.
So this
I had my name on mine, his name on his. We had
this
posters.
Is fucking crazy shit right here.
So I get up on stage. He comes up on his stage. He walks up to me, hand extended. How you doing? I'm Quentin.
He said that to you.
Yes.
Like he had to say that to you
yeah.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know who the fuck
I'm
he
you,
is?
The guy was so fucking down to earth. It wasn't even funny.
That's beyond. Fucking
and,
crazy.
And I, you know, I introduced myself, and I
did
told
you say
him,
to him
it was a pleasure, you know, to meet him.
What did you say when you shook his hand?
That was a pleasure to meet him.
Is it creepier for me to ask you what it felt like to shake his hand? Like, was he scaly? Was he the devil incarnate? What is he, like?
It was just, I was just shaking somebody's hand.
He's just
but
a dude, right?
Yeah, I remember, I mean, I'm coming
he's
off...
a cyborg, he's
I'm
cold.
Coming off of going on a...
No sleep.
Well, yeah, but no, I mean...
Buzz, jet lagged.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
yeah.
I've already kind of made it sound like I was starstruck.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind
of
was. But
of course.
At the same time.
He's your idol.
Yeah. At the same time,
you
I mean, look,
crazy.
I've met Roddenberry.
Right.
I've met so many actors from science fiction shows, from dramas, what have you, right, that have been in the business. So I kind of know how these people
they
like
think.
To be treated.
Sure.
Right? So I didn't
But that's
get,
not always
like,
true. That's not always true because
well,
these people want to be treated like regular human beings, and
mm-hmm.
when they get treated like celebrities,
exactly.
they sometimes steer away from that because, like, oh, it's just another one of these guys
yeah.
kissing my asshole.
Right.
So, but he's not one of those.
No.
And I know he's not. And I know he's not. So, we're at the point where you're standing.
Let me actually.
Shaking hand in hand
yeah.
with Quentin Tarantino. And he says, "Hi, I'm Quentin."
Yeah.
And you say,
"Hi, you know, I introduce myself. It's, you know, hi, I'm Mike. It's a pleasure to meet you. You know,
I'm a fan of your work.
Yeah.
The normal,
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
What any normal person would say meeting
mm-hmm.
their hero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a piece of shit. Hi, you're Superman.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would have said.
And don't worry, I have, yeah.
my farts smell like strawberry, and because I would have been gaseous meeting my heroes. Like,
well,
hey, if you saw that, that's not me.
Let me at least make this clear: the guy is about 6'7".
He's taller than I am.
I look like if you watch the show. When you watch the segment.
We have to put that... By the way, listeners, we haven't forgot about you. The YouTube video of Mike with Quentin will be posted on our YouTube channel and the weekly page with this episode.
I look like well, let me say. I look like a fucking hobbit, okay, next to him. I mean, seriously, you will watch that segment, and, I mean, we're more or less the same height.
By the way, that was a joke. I'm 5'7 at best.
That's 5'5". So he's at least 6'7".
Wow.
At least.
Jesus Christ.
And his head is like...
Oh, which is the funniest thing, because when he went on the Conan show, I was like, those motherfuckers are tall.
Oh, he is Conan's
tall.
Conan's tall.
Conan's tall as shit. Jimmy Kimmel not so much, though. But again,
yeah.
You didn't meet Jimmy Kimmel until after, right?
No, that's when I met Jimmy.
Oh, all right. So you're on stage.
Yeah.
Still shaking hands.
I shook hands with Quentin, then I shook hands with Jimmy.
He's the one that told the jokes, the actual questions for the trivia.
Yes.
All right.
And then actually, the name of the show was Who Knows Tarantino? But actually, I found out later that Who Knows Tarantino? And actually, I found out later that a lot of times they do this with other people, too. They've done it with other celebrities.
They try to do it with Ben Affleck.
Really?
No.
I'm sorry.
Matt Damon.
Really?
Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel have a thing where, and people of our podcast will know this, Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman were dating for a really long time.
Yeah, no, I know.
There was this whole bit where I think every time Sarah, and I might be wrong about this, every time Sarah Silverman was supposed to perform at the end of the show,
mm-hmm.
Matt Damon would come on. Or they would announce him as a guest, and...
Well, she did that skit, that I'm fucking Matt Damon skit.
Yes, why.
Yeah,
that's
uh-huh.
because of the reason
yeah. mm-hmm.
leading up to that was
yeah.
because one time they actually had him on to where they were going to really have him on. He kept getting bumped, like your fear.
Yeah.
And it's funny how a superstar like Matt Damon got bumped...
Until they actually did that official
Until they did it.
Skit, yeah.
As a matter of fact, when they had him on to not get bumped anymore,
yeah.
he came out on stage and they were like, seriously, this isn't a joke, we have to bump you.
Fuck.
And he got bumped for real.
I do remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He got bumped for real and he got fucking pissed off.
I remember
but then,
that. Yeah.
But then it was all a sketch, and that's when she came out with her I Want to Fuck That Damon bit.
Yeah.
And they did it on Saturday Night Live, too.
Okay.
They played the whole shit.
Okay.
So this is why I'm wondering if what they did to you on the phone before
yeah.
they shipped you out was whether or not they wanted to make fun of you in a Matt Damon sort of way. Like, do we want to, you know what I'm saying? But that might be just me. Only because I know the history of that, and I've never seen...
Thing. They took my wallet.
What?
They took my wallet.
They...
Yeah, because it was
They confiscated it?
They confiscated my wallet.
On TV.
Yeah.
They confiscated it from me.
They had my wallet. But I took all my stuff out. Because...
Did they ask you to?
It was part of the skit.
They say, take your shit out of your wallet, because
they wanted
take
to
it
just
from
put,
me.
like some money in there. Because basically the whole point of...
Okay, so, wait a minute.
Okay.
Go back, let's go back to, you're still shaking hands with Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, God, this is going back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where we, before I interrupt you, we're still going back to you shaking hands with Quentin Tarantino. Go.
Yeah.
This is before I asked you, Jimmy
yeah,
Kimmel
then
asked
Jimmy,
you the questions for
and
the
then
trivia.
Jimmy introduced himself. I was talking to him for a little bit.
Shook his hand.
And, yeah. And then he told me how everything was going to go and everything. And then we started taping. And the first, like Jimmy's intro was, oh, God, and I'm paraphrasing now.
Sure.
But, Jimmy's intro, and this is when I knew, you know, I was there to fill a kind of like a niche.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that you were.
And his intro was something like this. It was welcome to Who Knows Tarantino.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Our first contestant is a Academy Award-winning filmmaker who's...
They introduced him before they introduced you? oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was...
I'm pretty sure. And it's like, and it's Quentin Tarantino, and he is.
What?
He is. And then...
That's
and
hilarious.
Then, and then they go...
you gotta see the humor in
his,
that.
His challenger is a
nobody from Florida. Pretty
was,
much, like,
how do you put it? His challenger is from Spring Hill, Florida. Like Quentin, he started out in the video store.
Did he say Spring Hill?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like Quentin, he started out in the video store. Unlike Quentin, he still is.
That's where they robbed you.
Yeah.
That's where the bit comes in.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yep.
And you were totally down for it. You knew it was going down.
And he pronounced my name right, and I was like, yep.
That's
and then,
fucking great, man.
And then, you know, I think Quentin even patted me on the back or something.
That's
like that.
That's fucking
great.
But
and then they talked to me a little bit. I can't really remember exactly, but it's all in the...
Sure.
And then we started talking about stuff that didn't make the show, because then he brought up... they asked me... Well, this part of it is in the show. They asked me what my favorite Tarantino movie was, and they
in front of Tarantino
in front
on
of Tarantino.
TV,
and I said, "Well, at this point, it's Kill Bill," and then Quentin's like, "I love this. At this point, it's Kill Bill."
Okay, because you may or may not make a better one.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Was it Volume 1 or Volume 2?
I treated it as one movie.
Was it, but
I treated it as one movie?
But were they? But there was a point where Volume 2 hadn't been out yet. So it
was this after Volume 2 had already
been
out.
This is Volume 2.
Oh, yeah.
So you said, at this point, it's
Kill Bill
as a whole.
Yeah. And then
and he thought it was
Jimmy,
funny.
Jimmy said, do you like Volume 1 or Volume 2? And like, I treat it as one movie. And then,
so you did say that.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I turned to him, and this part got cut. And then I turn to Quentin and I go, well, I am waiting for the whole Bloody Affair to come out. Because basically there was a longer cut of the – well, actually there was a different cut of the movie, which was basically Volume 1 and Volume 2 edited back together.
You know what? I want to interject here and say that I know that that happened because
– No, it happened.
RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan did the –
He did the score for
RZA or GZA? I believe it was GZA.
No.
That did the score. Maybe my hip hop music fans are gonna fucking hate me for this. I don't know. I want to say it was RZA that did the score For both Kill Bill volumes.
No, he did the score for volume one. Robert Rodriguez did the score for volume two.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it RZA or GZA? Do you RZA. Know? Was it RZA?
It was RZA.
Yeah. Point for me.
But
15 Love. I don't know what that means. But kind of stern.
Where was I? But yeah.
That's the part that they cut out when you mentioned.
Yeah, but I'm still waiting for the whole Bloody Affair. And actually, since then, Quentin screened it at his theater. He owns a theater in L.A.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
New Beverly.
Yep.
And he showed the whole Bloody Affair.
No way.
Yeah. And actually, you've never.
Oh no, yeah, I heard about that.
Well, it is different. I mean, there's a segment that was. And they've done this for Kung Fu.
I'll watch it with you, man. Yeah, I'll watch it with you. If I'm going to watch Volume 1 with anyone,
I'll probably screen it.
I'll watch it with you. Because I don't. My brother loves. My brother loves Quentin Tarantino, and I never watch any Tarantino films with him. And he'll be pissed off if I watch one with you, so we'll do that. Because,
okay.
Fuck him. I love you, David. That's my brother. He's an asshole.
But I mentioned that, and then Quentin actually described what the whole Bloody Affair was to Jimmy.
Is that where the girl gets stabbed, like, almost under the bed? Is that the whole Bloody Affair in the anime part where...
Well, no, the only difference with the whole Bloody Affair...
Because I haven't seen...
Is that there were sequences that were...
But it does have to do with the anime, right?
No.
It's not Bloody Affair?
I think there may be some added footage to the anime, but like, for instance, there's a scene towards the end of Volume 1, and this has happened to other Kung Fu films when they've come over here or they're shown on TV, to make it seem less violent, they bring it from color to black and white.
Yep.
Okay?
It just sprays everywhere.
Yeah. Well, to give it the R rating...
Yeah, that's what I do.
They actually made it black and white for one sequence of one fight sequence, and then all of a sudden it goes back to color.
Yeah, that's the part that I saw.
The whole Bloody Affair was the version that he showed in Japan.
That wasn't
in black and white.
Yeah.
That sequence was not in black
and
white.
I saw that part.
And the sequence is actually even longer.
It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, and actually,
the shit was incredible.
Yeah.
It's bloody as fuck.
That's awesome. Yeah.
This is what turned me off to it, was that there was this guy that I hated, that I already hated.
Yeah.
Because Quentin Tarantino can suck my balls. And he made this live-action sort of anime flick that seemed like... When he switched it over to black and white and there was that live action cutting going on, it just seemed over the top. Like, he was just spraying black ink on somebody. But he was making a point. He was doing one of those reference things again where he's like, this is what anime would look like if it was live action. And it was a nod to people that didn't know that. And to me, it was one of those things where it was like, yeah, I get it, but why do you have to show that to everybody? It looks completely false. The black and white's not going to make sense to anybody. This is only something that film students and directors are going to get. Why would you do that to your audience? Again, with the same thing. And it's like, I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even seen any of your movies, and I get it, but I think it's wrong.
Mm.
I think it's playing into... And like I said, I'm not here to appease... anyone Quentin Tarantino style. I've talked shit about him before.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most amazing interview I've ever had, and I'm still talking shit about him. But again, hopefully people that have listened to the past episodes know I'm talking shit about him in the most respectable way. I walk a razor thin line when I talk about Tarantino because I respect him as much as I hate him. But one of the reasons is that I'm going to sound like an asshole when I say this. Successfully, he walks that line, and that's why I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Because without seeing most of his films, I get him.
Well, do you think do you think it's also because it seems he's getting away with something that seems so easy that anybody could do because it seems like he's just ripping off other people.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. I feel that I could do what he does if my name was his name. I feel that if Darren Torres was Quentin Tarantino, I'd be just as successful. Because I can do exactly what he does without the fucking pretension of a crazy mind. When he doesn't actually have that. He knows what he's doing. He's portraying that. And it drives me nuts that somebody with his scattered brain can do better than I can, and I'm actually trying, and he's not at all. And he can make it look flawless. I fucking hate him for that. He's a crazy ass maniac that doesn't have any business holding a camera, and it comes so easy to him.
I would disagree with
that. That's why we come to a separate point on this matter, is because you nailed it. I think that I can do exactly what he does, but I don't have his name, therefore I can't do that.
Believe me, the stuff...
You think it takes a particular... What does he have that I don't, in other words? What makes...
I don't think it's really that simple.
I think it is, though. That's what pisses me off about it.
He makes it look that simple.
Okay. I fucking love him and hate him for that reason, and you nailed it.
He makes it look that simple, but...
Isn't it fucking crazy, though, in your head, that I have just as much respect for him without seeing most of his movies than you do?
You're looking at him in an attitude of, he's getting away with exactly the kind of thing that,
I would hope
anybody, it seems like anybody could do, but, more power to him.
Right. I would hope that my listeners understand the fact that I'm not hating just to hate, that there's a reason behind my hate for him. And it's just as much as my love for him without seeing as many movies and being a fan.
Right.
I have just as much respect for him as you do, and you fucking met the guy. He's your hero.
Well, I've got other...
First of all, I have to give you props for letting me talk this much shit about your hero, because if you said the same thing to me about Matt Damon, I'd punch you in the face.
I don't know. I've got a lot of heroes.
Clearly. You've met most of them, and that's why I'm interviewing you.
There are three of them that I think...
Dude, if I had met Matt Damon... After that, I'd walk out the street and let a bus hit me, because that would be the pinnacle. That's the top of the top. That's the best I'm ever going to do in my life. And he didn't hire me for anything, so I know I'm not going to make a career out of it. I'm going to jump in front of a bus. That's the best thing that I have going for me. I want to know.
Well, okay.
Just as much respect for him as you do without watching as many movies? That's all I want to know. But I also want to go back to the point... Jesus Christ, this is going to be like a five-hour podcast. I want to go back to the point where you say that... Because we still haven't gotten to the fucking trivia.
No.
We still haven't gotten to that point. So do you want...
Well, real quick, I have other heroes.
Mean that to insult you.
Oh, no, no.
I'm just saying that if I ever met my hero, I would be done with it. Like, I don't understand how you... Well, maybe I do, because that was 2005 and things happened, and it just passed over. Was this a big deal?
These are people I respect.
Was it a big deal?
And actually, Jimmy said that to me.
When you went to Jimmy, when you came back, did anybody give you fanfare? You weren't like a local hero.
Cheryl actually put a note on the doors.
That's great.
Watch.
Bringing it back to Cheryl.
Yeah. Mike's going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight at, whatever time and all that. And actually, it was preempted by fucking, what's the news magazine that plays on ABC? Was it 2020?
No, it was,
maybe it wasn't
TMZ.
It wasn't even TMZ. It probably was just the regular news, but it ran over. But it didn't play for like an hour, but it played.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So at this point,
But Jimmy actually said to me, he goes, do you love, like, he was pushing me. He was fucking pushing me.
He was trying to get
you to. I was not going to take that fucking bait.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to make me seem like, I mean, yes, I respect the guy.
Right.
And yes, I'm very, I'm, you know.
He's Jimmy Kimmel. Come on, Adam Carolla, fucking Love Line.
No, I'm not talking about Jimmy. I'm talking about Quentin. I respect the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've learned a lot about his career and about his films. Okay. But Jimmy says to me, do you love Quentin Tarantino? And my response was, I respect him. Because I knew what he was trying to do. Because the whole skit was supposed to, not necessarily humiliate me, but to make me look like a completely obsessive fan.
Sure.
And I wasn't going to take that bait. Okay?
That's what's great to me. Like, that's what I was trying to say before. Like, mm-hmm. do you, that's what I was trying to say before. Like, knowing that you didn't do it, you didn't go along with the bit.
I tried to go with as much as I could and handle
it. But you're not, we talked before about, you know, when I went to New York last year to visit my family, I went to the Comedy Cellar. I got to see Colin Quinn. I told you about all the, you know, Aziz Ansari. I got to see all those guys. If at any point they turned to me and I thought it was going to be a bit,
mm-hmm.
at that, when he said that to you, did you know that you were putting him on the spot and off of script? Because at that point, he has to say something back to you, whether or not you're going to own him or he's going to own you.
No, what it seemed like he did do, though, because I wasn't feeding him any material. Because
he's fucking Jimmy Kimmel. He knows. He's a comedy guy.
I wasn't feeding him any material, and I think he realized.
You weren't on a script.
Well, yeah, but I think he realized that I wasn't playing games. I wasn't going to be part of his little game.
So after...
So he started with me, and he tried to feed it, but I wasn't giving him the answers he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So then he started on Quentin.
At that point, did he start asking trivia questions?
Yes.
What was the... Do you remember what the first thing he said to Quentin was? If not, it's cool, because we're probably going to see it on the video,
because,
right? How long is the video, first of all? Do you know?
About
do you,
6 minutes.
Really? Yeah. So it's pretty much the whole thing besides the edited part that you talked about just now.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at this point where Jimmy Kimmel is asking Quentin Tarantino questions about himself.
Well, he was asking basically both of us. And it all had to do
with buzzer
who
and shit.
Hit the buzzer first.
Sure.
Yeah. There was even a point where I hit the buzzer.
So
because I was
Did he explain rules to you? Like, okay, we're now going into this portion where it's a bit now, and who knows more about Quentin?
Right.
Did they do the whole fucking like theme song thing? By the way, I think let's make a deal. Maybe $50,000 pyramid, whatever it is. They did a theme song. They did the bit.
Yeah.
And then they asked Quentin the first question.
Well, they just asked the first question. I mean, it was just basically open.
Oh, they had to ask
It all had to do with
that's the game show.
A lot of the questions, I didn't even have to wait for the multiple choice. I just started buzzing. Yeah.
Right.
And that was my downfall for at least two questions.
You beat him out. Oh, yeah. Because you thought it was going to be something else.
Yeah, and there was actually one where whenever I see it, I'm always embarrassed when I watch it anyway. But
how often do you watch yourself? Do you do this?
Hardly ever.
Really?
Hardly ever.
Is it embarrassing for you, or?
Yeah, because I mean, I'm proud.
Of course. You're on stage with Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. But when I fuck up, and then
you're just like, why did I do
I'm
that?
Like, oh,
you want to rewind it. Yeah.
And then when I just hear my own voice.
Nobody likes that, dude.
Nah.
We've done 33-plus episodes, and I still hate hearing myself.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best one of the best interviews I've ever done. And while I edit it, I'll be like, why am I talking? Because my voice sounds like shit. But, you know, I used to rap back in the day. I hate my voice when I sing. I hate my voice when I rap. I hate my voice when I write. We'll never get used to it.
Right.
99% of the actors in Hollywood claim they don't watch themselves in the movies, but I think that's bullshit.
Some do, some don't. Some are egomaniacs.
Can I get that? At this point, we're sitting here, and you're in a trivia with Jimmy Kimmel and Quentin Tarantino. And he says, what? Like, the first question you don't remember?
Oh, well, so, well, a lot of them were, there were Kill Bill questions. There was one question about where he, about video archives. There was a question that I missed that I would have gotten, but I took too long, about his very first job, which is the Pussycat Movie Theater, which is a porno movie theater. It was his very first job.
That's funny.
Yeah, he was the usher at a fucking porno theater.
Which is, he like had to, you know, come from the floor and shit, right?
Probably.
Wow.
Let's see. One question that I got wrong.
For our listeners, the payoff is you get to talk backstage.
Oh, yeah, I talked to him for about an hour.
Right. That's the after part.
Yeah.
We've already been talking for probably about 3 hours about everything leading up to this point.
Yeah.
So, just for our listeners, there's still a payoff, I guarantee it. If anybody's still listening to this story. So we're sitting here on stage towards the last part of everything that's going on. You still have yet to answer the question that Quentin Tarantino can't answer, or...
Well, no. There wasn't anything that he couldn't answer. It was just, there was one question that... This is the one part of the show that embarrassed me to...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
All levels.
There was a question that you couldn't...
It was because I wanted to hit the buzzer quick, so I misheard the question. So, because I thought he was asking... who was he dating? And it was, I think it was, who was he dating? Or, but it was actually a question of who in this list has he not dated? Yeah. And I didn't wait for him to get to the list, or at least I buzzed in just as he was.
And you're just like, oh.
I buzzed in.
It's one of those things where you like you came in and you're like, oh, I should have waited until.
I buzzed in not only at the exact moment I realized what he was asking, but I buzzed in at the exact same moment he was saying the one person that would have been the answer.
Mm.
And I was about to say something else. And I'm like, in front of everybody, I'm like, oh,
crap. Yeah, I should have waited.
And I said, oh, crap. Like, And then Quentin buzzed in and he answered it.
But do you remember what the answer was?
Harvey Keitel.
That's funny. So it was probably a... It was a...
I mean, it wasn't... I think Mira Sorvino was in there.
No. Harvey Keitel would have been...
who was he not dating? You know what I mean? I think that was the question. But that was...
Yeah, but... The answer. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what I was saying is that Harvey Keitel was in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
So it would have been a...
No. Who is Quentin personally not dating?
Oh, not? Who was... Oh, during the shooting of that film?
No. Dating, as in girlfriend.
They asked you a personal question about his life.
That's what half the questions were about.
Really?
Yeah.
They weren't about his movies, they were about his personal life.
Both. Everything.
Oh,
who knows
shit.
Tarantino?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you had to know everything about his life and his movies.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought they were
about... And I read a bio on him, so I knew...
I thought they were about his movies only.
No.
Holy fuck.
No, yeah.
So... They asked you a personal question about who he was dating during the filming of
the
movie.
No, not just during filming, just in
general.
In general.
I think that's what the question was. Yeah.
And you got it wrong.
Whatever the question was, the answer was Harvey Keitel, but I buzzed in at the wrong period. And I realized my mistake just as my hand hit the buzzer, and I'm like, oh, crap.
That's so funny. And then after that?
I fucking beat him.
Do you remember what question? How fucking nutballs is that?
But that's when, well, right before it all, they said, okay, if Quentin wins, he gets all the money that's in Mike's wallet.
That's why they took your wallet.
And the girl like shows my wallet off, right? And then my license, you know, and you saw it, everything. And there was just
did they ask you for your wallet?
Yeah.
They asked you for it. Yeah. Like, hey, we need everything.
And
in your
I
wallet.
Took everything out of it, put it in my pocket, except for my license, I think.
They asked you to keep that
and
in
a $5
there.
Bill.
So
they put that
in there.
And
that's,
I think it was a $5 bill.
So it was set up like,
yeah.
They made you give up your wallet backstage.
Yeah.
They put $5 in there so you look broke.
Yeah.
And then when Quentin was faced with the fact that he had to win your money out of your wallet, mm-hmm. you were the broke asshole that had $5 in his pocket.
Who fucking loved Quentin Tarantino.
That is, in a way, it's fucked up and genius at the same time.
Yeah.
That I have never heard of a more fucked up setup than that.
Yeah. So I have to roll with some punches.
Wow.
Yeah.
And right away. And you did it. Because you were going to be on TV with Quentin.
Well, here's the thing. And this is at the same time, I knew, you know, in a sense, to the crowd, this would be a joke. But to me, it was like, really? I'm going to be getting something that...
I get what you're saying, because the fucking crowd thinks you're a laughing stock. Like, look at this fucking nerd.
Right.
He's got $5 in his pocket. He's in L.A.
Yeah.
From Florida. Yeah. And this, what a douchebag.
And of course,
they set
Florida,
you up.
And of course, Florida already has connotations.
Yeah.
That, right?
I watch Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Every other show, they make fun of Florida. We get a bad rap because we're all fucking nerdless. Not even that. Redneck assholes.
Home of the recently wed or nearly dead.
Couldn't have said it better myself, my friend. And that is the thing that bothers me the most. You know why? Because comedians that bullshit about us the most come here to make the most money. I'm just going to say that. We'll talk about that off mic. But here's
what happened. They did that. They showed off my wallet and everything. And, you know, if Quentin wins, he gets what, you know, the contents of Mike's wallet. If I win,
I get a
box of Kill Bill facial tissues. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. And actually, I'll show them to you.
I know that's great.
No.
I don't know why. I'll tell you.
Because to the crowd, it's like Kill Bill facial tissues. Big joke. Those
to the fan, it means
were a marketing, were a, it was a cross promotion. They were basically Japanese Kill Bill facial tissues.
Promos.
Yeah. Basically for a company, I guess maybe the Japanese equivalent of Puffs Plus.
Mm.
Okay? Well... to the crowd, this is a big fucking joke. To me, I'm like, wait a minute. I think I saw those tissues
great.
On eBay.
Yeah.
They've already... Someone else has gotten a box of tissues like that for the Kill Bill facial tissues.
But 34 grand.
And actually tried to sell them on eBay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's pretty fucking cool.
Wow.
I've seen those before. So
you're fucking ecstatic.
To
like,
the crowd.
If I lose,
yeah. So immediately when I got home, I immediately went back to the video store and I shrink-wrapped it. I'm still shrink wrapped.
No shit. So wait, which means you lost, or did you win against him?
I won. I got it.
But he also got your $5.
No, he didn't.
That they put in here. Well,
no, they took the $5 back. It was their $5.
So that should have been a spoiler alert, because I want to hear the questions that led up to the win.
I can't remember them.
No. Don't even say anymore. For our fans, watch the fucking YouTube video that we put up because it will be on there, or maybe not. I think we're going to cut this off for whatever episode this is, and then we'll start it right back up because I want to know what happens behind stage now.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a break.
This episode of Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and for more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.